As Janet says, the reading today is taken from Genesis 11, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 9. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." And they used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speak in the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other." So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Colin, thank you very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please speak to us now through your word and open our hearts to hear and respond to you. Amen. So, the Tower of Babel. They were trying to build a really, really tall tower. Does anyone know what is the tallest tower in the whole world at the moment? I had to look it up because I didn't know. Because when I was growing up, it was always the Empire State Building, which I've been up. It's in Dubai. Well done. The Burj Khalifa Tower in Dubai. It is, let's just get the figures right. It was 826 metres, 2,717 feet, Burj Khalifa Tower in Dubai. It's got 160 floors. That is amazing. Second highest one is in China, and in fact, a lot of the very highest towers in the world are actually being built in China at the moment. Seeing Rebecca there in Malaysia, the Petronas Towers, I'm afraid, only comes in at number 15 now in the world. And Empire State Building is only number 35 in the world. So you learn something new. Learned something new there. There's a human instinct to build the biggest thing possible. There's that real instinct, that competition. My tower is bigger than your tower. I'm going to build the tallest tower ever. So this little story comes at the end of this section. Genesis chapter 1 to 11 belong together. It's what we call primeval history. It's about the history of the world up to about 2,000 years BC. It covers thousands and thousands of years and generations. And then the rest of Genesis is just about four generations, the patriarchal history, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And so I've been thinking, what have I learned from Genesis 1 to 11? Well, last week was the end of the story of Noah and the flood. And we heard about God's very clear instruction to Noah. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth." So you remember that Noah and his wife survived the flood. They had three sons called Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and they had wives. And just that one family had children, multiplied, were told to fill the earth. In the rest of chapter 9, there's a slightly unusual story about Noah planting some vines, the first vineyard. He gets drunk and takes all his clothes off and is lying there naked. And there's this little story about one of his sons, Ham, coming in and seeing him and disrespecting his father. We're not quite told how he disrespects him, but one of the ways is he goes and tells his brother, "Ooh, look what Dad's done." And so, again, have a look at that at the end of chapter 9 there. And then Noah curses his son Ham and his son Canaan in turn. And it's quite interesting as you read through the next chapters of Genesis how a lot of Ham and Canaan's descendants turned into the enemies of Israel. The Canaanites, the Philistines, the Babylonians were all descended. We're told in chapter 10 of all these different generations coming down from those three sons, covering the Middle East, spreading out across the Mediterranean, spreading down into Africa and across Arabia. And within that context comes the story of the Tower of Babel. So chapter 11. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. So the one language they spoke would have been the language that Noah spoke and was obviously spoken within the ark. And so as people spread, that's what they spoke. Now, those that moved east found there was an awful lot of sand in Babylonia and there wasn't that much stone. And so they made bricks. They learned how to make fired bricks and they used tar or mortar to stick them together to make like sort of little temples or ziggurats, I think's the technical term, temple mounds. And what they were trying to do was build a really tall tower to reach the heavens and make a name for themselves. Verse 4, then they said, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So the question this morning is, what did they do wrong? What was wrong with those builders of the Tower of Babel? Well, first of all, God's clear instruction in chapter 9 was, be fruitful, increase in number, and fill the earth. It wasn't get settled in one place, build a city, stay there forever and ever. It was about repopulate the earth after the flood. But they were also trying in vain to build up high, to reach the heaven by their own efforts. Self-confidence or human arrogance. It was all about we're independent humans, we're self-sufficient. We don't need God. Let's build ourselves a really, really big tower and reach up high. And they saw themselves as people who could determine their own destiny. They had no reference to God. It's very typical of human autonomy. I did it my way. It's very much a phrase people say nowadays, as they said thousands of years ago. Oh, I did it my way. If you've ever had children, they often quite like putting their own socks on and their own shoes on, and they very proudly tell you, I want to do it. Don't you do it. I'll do it my way. And it's that fine line between confidence in your abilities, but spilling over into arrogance. I want to do things my way. When are the times when we don't depend on God first and God last? I read recently Psalm 127 again, which was written by Solomon, who was one of the wisest, or was the wisest man who ever lived. And Solomon writes, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house. And it's one of the many problems that I have, is I'll try and sort things out on my own. I will try and build my house, if you like, on my own, rather than depending on God. It shows itself, I might try and be a better person, but without first seeking God or fixing my eyes on God. Again, I fail when I try and find a way through my own difficulties, and then after a while, oh, maybe I should pray about that. It's when we try and do things in our own strength without first depending on God, praying about things. So many of our failings stem back to what we saw in Genesis 2 and 3. Walk closely with God in the Garden of Eden, and then the fall comes. And there was something about Adam and Eve who had such a close relationship with God. They depended on him for everything. And then after the fall, that close relationship broke. They walked away. They wanted to try and do things in their own strength. So what happened to the Tower of Babel and the builders? Well, that one language became confused. And we're told the Lord came down from on high. There's a bit of irony there. And suddenly they found themselves speaking a whole multitude of different tongues and languages. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where there are a lot of people or a lot of tourists all speaking a different language. It's really hard. You can't communicate. You can't cooperate on a building site if everyone's speaking a different language. And that, in verse 9, is why it was called Babel. The word Babel in Hebrew means confuse or confound. The Lord confused the languages of the whole world, and from there he scattered them over the face of the whole earth. And that finishes off those 11 chapters, and then we go on another time and we'll look at the story of Abraham. But there's a link with that Tower of Babel in the New Testament, the story of Pentecost, where all the disciples are together in one room and the Holy Spirit comes down and gives them a multitude of tongues to speak on that first Pentecost. And the effect was all those visiting tourists, all those visiting pilgrims in Jerusalem say, "We heard the gospel. We heard people praising God. We heard them declaring his wonders in our own language." So it's like a reversal of what happened at the Tower of Babel. And finally, the book of Revelation, the very last book in the Bible. And in heaven, finally, we're all going to worship God with one united voice. Revelation 12. "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, holding palm branches, and they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And I love that image of all those different people, all those different backgrounds and languages and tribes, and yet they're all singing the same song, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne." I think there's a message for us today about Christians that we should be speaking with one tongue, a unified voice. We should be all praising God, pointing to God, relying on God. And so this Tower of Babel story, it reminds us, first of all, the importance of obeying God, not trying to do things by our own efforts. The importance of relying on him first, and not just relying on my skills and my gifts. And I think there's a lesson in there, particularly on those of us who pride ourselves on our independence. Reminds us how important communicating with one another is. And so now we've finished Genesis 1 to 11. I'm going to ask you over coffee, so I'm giving you half an hour's warning. I'm going to ask you, is there any one thing you remember from this mini-series? Is there any lesson you've learned from Genesis 1 to 11? So chapter 1, we learnt again, this is what I remember, that God is creator, almighty God, and he made us for that very close relationship, that walk with him. I know I preached on chapter 2, and I talked about the fact that men needed a helper, and so God created women. And then we learned about sin messing everything up and how that sin spread out. We heard about the very first murder when Cain killed Abel. And then we heard about the story of the flood, about God keeping a remnant safe because Noah was a righteous man. And the phrase that has stayed with me is the one Chris Brown used. God kept Noah safe, though he was not in a safe place. I've been thinking about that. God kept him safe, but he was not in a safe place. Then we learnt about the rainbow marking God's covenant with us not to destroy the world again with the flood. And finally, the Tower of Babel. Don't disobey God. There are consequences. Don't be arrogant. Don't build in your own strength, but rely on him. Walk closely with God. And finally, let's worship God with one united voice. Let's just pause now and just ask God to bring to mind anything that we need to deal with or bring before him. Let's pray. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will be the great builder, that we will rely totally on you and not on our own strength. Help us to obey you in everything, and help us to have one united voice in praising you and worshipping you, for you are good. Amen.